The liberal globalist order is on its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks.
Hundreds of thousands of people are pouring into our country under birthright citizenship, and it wasn't meant for that reason. It was meant for the babies of slaves. We can now properly file to proceed with these numerous policies and those that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis, including birthright citizenship.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve. And with the looming Supreme Court decision on birthright citizenship, Marjorie Taylor Greene's resignation, and the relentless effort by the legacy media to force at least one resignation among Trump's awesome cabinet, it can be hard to make sense of it all and put it all together. But my guest today does a great job of doing just that. We've got my fellow YouTuber, Stephen Gardner, back with us today to break down what's really happening behind the headlines. Make sure to click on the link below to subscribe to Stephen's awesome channel. You will love it. Sir Gardner, welcome back, my friend. Great to see you.
Oh, thank you so much. I always love coming on your show.
The feeling's mutual. Love seeing your guys, your channel's audience a few months ago. That was absolutely awesome. Yeah, right after Charlie Kirk's assassination, actually. It was,
yes.
I appreciated your videos on that. You're in Utah, so you're able to you can access that part of the world that I'm in the Philly area, so I can't. So I really appreciate you doing that and taking the time to do some investigative reporting on that. You know, I wanted to start with you with the Supreme Court, because they just agreed to hear President Trump's arguments defending his executive order targeting birthright citizenship. So, as I understand it, the Trump administration is arguing that the 14th Amendment is very specific. It does not include it doesn't include the children of diplomats, right, who were born in the United States while the ambassador, the diplomat, is serving here. So those children are not automatically citizens. What do you think Trump's lawyers are going to argue, and what's your take on whether the courts are actually going to will they side with Trump?
You know, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but from everything that I've read, I'll just give you my take on what I think President Trump is trying to do. I think for a long time, the status quo has been that America owes the world something. Oh, we owe you the chance to come here. Right. We owe you, a good life or whatever. When the reality is, if you are blessed to get into our country and you work your butt off, you can achieve the American dream, right? So there's all this talk right now of Trump going head to head with Xi Jinping over rare earth minerals and magnets, right? Oh, we got to get these magnets, right? This is what I think Trump is doing. He's trying to remove the magnets for illegal immigration. So he's getting rid of the birthright citizenship. If you come here just to have a baby, like, no, you don't get to be an American. You've got to come here legally. If you come here, we're not going to put you on Social Security. We've got hardworking Americans that have worked their tail off 40, 50, 60 hours a week for decades in order to have Social Security and that safety net. And he's saying no more to illegals. You don't get free health care. You don't get free Medicaid. You don't get to come here and get $5,000 a month in food stamps while American citizens wonder, am I going to buy medication or groceries?
Right.
So I think what President Trump is doing is he's saying, this is antiquated. We're seeing it through the wrong lens. We don't owe the world the opportunity to come here, right? Yes, bring us your huddled masses and those that are downtrodden, but don't show up broke. Don't show up with no skills.
Right.
Don't show up trying to not integrate or push your religious beliefs on all of us. So I think he's removing the magnets that have been attracting people, that have been attracting people from Somalia that come here and steal our money, that have been attracting, army-aged men from other countries that should be staying in their own country. So my take is that he's looking at the 14th Amendment going, being an American is a rare privilege, and you can come here legally or you can be born here, but you can't come here just to be born here.
Right, right, Right. That's you know, it's interesting because in my research, I found that the I came across the whole notion of the anchor baby, as they're called, right? This idea of just being born on American soil was enough to confer automatic citizenship, regardless of whether your parents are citizens or they're under our jurisdiction or what have you. It actually goes, but we could trace it back to the Supreme Court Justice William Brennan, who was a hardcore lib. And he slipped it into a footnote in a 1982 Supreme Court opinion announcing that the kids born to illegals on U.S. soil are automatically citizens. I don't know if you came across that. It's really interesting. But it seems to me that if that's the case, if that's where we can pinpoint where children of illegal migrants were suddenly automatically conferred citizenship, if we can pinpoint it to a footnote in the decision in terms of its fixed historical point of where it started, that means, it seems to me at least, that that interpretation of birthright citizenship rests on the flimsiest of legal reasoning. I mean, literally a footnote, and it's absolutely ripe for being overturned. And I'm with you. We'll have to see. I don't know how they're going to decide.
Yeah, you know what else was kind of a footnote was Obama slipping the Smith-Mundt Act in, where he gave the mainstream media permission to lie to the American people. So I'm done with these footnotes. Yeah. I want America put first when it comes to our money. I think it is a privilege and a blessing to live in this great nation. And if you want to come here, great. Come assimilate, become part of the American fabric. If not, no, I'm against it.
I'm with you. I think that is, Steve and I mean, we've talked about this before. I think that's the default position of like everybody on the planet right now. It's not even just the United States. There was one article that called 2016 the year of the wall. So this is obviously Trump's first term when he won on November 8th. But in trying to figure out what happened to Hillary Clinton and how her whole, you know, Pepsi Cola globalist campaign just collapsed, he said, you know, well, we have to be honest. 2016 was the year of the wall. Everywhere we look around the world, border walls were going up. They were not being torn down. And so what Trump was advocating for the United States was just par for the course of what leaders all over the world are advocating. So I think the sentiment you're saying is just so right on. I mean, just that's just where we are. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, we would have been, I like the way you say it. I think, you know, we would have been, well, you know, we do have a responsibility to the world and blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, no, I got a responsibility to my neighbor. I got a responsibility to my neighborhood. I got a responsibility to my forefathers to keep this country at least somewhat vibrant in comparison to what they fought for. So, yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I want to pivot. Let's do this because I'm still trying to figure this one out. I want to talk about MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, because I told you, I think before before we went live here, people have been asking me why I haven't done a video on this yet. And my answer to them is just, to be brutally honest, I actually don't know what the heck is going on. She went from being one of Trump's most vocal supporters to basically becoming like a female version of Tom Massey, you know, and protesting alongside Democrats over the Epstein files with literally next to signs that said Trump's a pedophile and things like that. She had that, you know, cream puff interview on The View. She was on 60 Minutes the other night. And now she's gone. Now she's resigning from her seat at the beginning of the year. What's your take on what's going on here?
So let me just start by saying this. I actually like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I had her on my show. People ask me, what was she like? I say, she was actually one of the most charming people I've ever interviewed. And so I still think that she is pro-Trump and pro-MAGA. But man, these two are locking horns right now. And it's ugly. I don't like seeing it. But here's what's going on behind the scenes. A couple of things. Number one, she's got bad feelings towards the government of Israel and the Gaza situation. That was the first wedge that she was like, okay, I like the Jewish people, but it's really bugging me what's going on in Gaza, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, you had Trump saying, of course, I'll release the Epstein stuff, but it's a distraction. I'm not in there. The only reason that they want to pull these victims out of the dark and into the light is to try to get me, which right. he was right. As right. soon as he signed that, not a damn Democrat talks right. about this anymore. Right. So they literally used abused women to try to get to Trump, and then they tossed him to the side, just like Jeffrey Epstein. So there goes the second wedge. Here's the big one, though. What most people don't know is that President Trump actually called Marjorie Taylor Greene in to a private meeting because she wanted to run for Senate in mm-hmm. the state of Georgia. This isn't really publicly known. And he said, listen, in your district, you're going to win in a landslide, like the landslide of all landslides.
Yeah, deep red.
They love you. It's redder than red, right? But when it comes to the whole state, we've spent millions of dollars on polling data on your behalf, and you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to have an impact in Congress, you should remain a congressional seat holder, right?
Yeah.
And she didn't like that. Mm. And so he came out and basically said, listen, you're blasting me over Israel. You're yeah. blasting me over the Schumer shutdown. You're blasting me over broken Obamacare, and you're blasting me over Epstein. And it just got to be too much. And so then he's like, wait a minute, I'm not going to sign my reputation on someone who's going to lose. If right. you want to run for Congress, you've got my endorsement and you will win. If you want to run for Senate, you are going to lose, and I'm not going to put my name there. So that is my best explanation of what has been going on behind the scenes. But publicly, I hate it. Yeah. I hate it. I don't want to see MAGA torn apart. Everyone says MAGA's dead. MAGA is not dead. But unfortunately, there's been some people that are, you know, they're leaning more Democrat, or they're leaning into conspiracy theory. And President Trump is saying, listen, if you're going to drag me down and be an anchor, I've got to cut anchor and move forward on behalf of the voter.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got too many awesome things going on with MAHA and RFK and Tulsi.
Yes.
And even sort of the rapprochement that's happening with Elon, which I'm really happy about. I don't see Marjorie's, you know, significant as Elon Musk in terms of like this tech trad alliance, but nevertheless, it's the same kind of tragedy. It's like, oh, why do you guys have to be at each other's throats? Because I think it seems to me Trump was doing this constantly in his first term. He was fighting with Paul Ryan all the time. He was fighting with Mitch McConnell all the time. He was fighting and Republicans every bit as much as Democrats. Whereas now, this entire year, it seems like it's been very rare any kind of open feud with a fellow Republican. We had Elon, that was rough. And yes. then, but again, he's not like technically Republican, right? He's bringing the Silicon Valley wing in with the social conservatives and creating that tech trad alliance that's still there. Peter Thiel and all that, they're still with us in that sense. So it was sad to see it happen. But I think this is the first time outside of Massey, who's just a libertarian gadfly and all this. This is the first time you saw somebody who was like real hardcore MAGA end up in as the Brits would say, a row with President Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me say one thing to you, Dr. Turley, and you tell me whether you agree or disagree, but because you and I both covered Trump term one, Biden, and then now Trump term two. You know, the first time, I think he didn't know how to be president, right. but he was right. trying to be president. And he was getting betrayed over and over again by the intelligence agency, by rhinos, by butt kissers, by yeah. people trying to get favors, right? Then he comes back in term two. And I think this time he realized, I don't have to try to be the president. I am the president. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to lead the country yeah. like a CEO.
Yeah. yeah.
So a CEO, you can't have a district manager or a director of marketing or sales or whatever, bad mouthing the Trump organization, you fire that person.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
get rid of them. If you find out that somebody's costing your money hundreds of millions of dollars, you get rid of that person, right? So I think this time he knows, I am the president of right. the United States of America, clothed in power with the Article II authority to do what needs to be done. I've got the spine. I hope the GOP will join me. And he has just been pushing forward, but he's behaving like a CEO. Yep. Oh, you're costing us $200 billion a year, illegals? You're gone. Right. You're costing us in food stamps? You're gone. Like, he's just over and over again saying anything that's dragging America down, you're fired. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. There is a sort of Return of the King Aragorn kind of vibe going on. If you read through the Lord of the Rings, Aragorn is very unsure of himself all throughout, you know, the beginning. And the movies do an okay job with that. But in the book, you really get into his mind, and he is constantly second guessing himself, and he constantly doubts himself, and he's out in exile. But through the fighting and through the valor that he musters to fight for what is good in this world, as it were, when he assumes the throne, he literally rules with a mandate from heaven. It's a charism that's just so natural. He doesn't even have to think about it. He doesn't second guess himself. And that's the sense I get with Trump. I think in this first administration, there was a lot of second guessing. Who can I trust? What, how do I do this? Am I out of my element here, out of my league? What's going on? Whereas this time, he is the presidency. I mean, he is embodying it truly. And just the way he's designing the White House and with the ballroom, or just the Oval Office with the gold and the Sun King like image. It's very mythical. And I think it's awesome. And then using and recovering the power of Article II, the power of the executive branch. Because what I find so cool is that we've been taught to think that the presidency is actually a very limited office, and that all the real governing is in Article I legislative, or even worse, Article III and sort of judicial fiat. Whereas Trump comes in and basically says, no, if we want to make things permanent, yeah, we got to go through the long deliberative process of Article I. It's got to go through Article III evaluation. Yeah. That takes a while. But our forefathers, our founding fathers gave us.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
A very dynamic, very powerful Article II to make changes and pivot really fast. Now, we can pivot back just as quickly. That's the other side of the coin there. But, I mean, he has just gone absolutely scorched earth on, it seems like, the whole globalist system. From the desk of the Oval Office, and it's just taken the left wing completely off guard, because they're expecting Obama, you know, part three, as it were, just auto pen, or they're just not used to someone seizing the power that the executive Article II gives to him, and that's so. I think it's so part of just. I love how you put it. He is truly the CEO of the Western Hemisphere, and he's governing accordingly.
Yeah, and you can even just see it in the paintings that he surrounds himself with. You know, like he wants to be known as the modern day George Washington, not the modern day Jimmy Carter. So he's got paintings of Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. These are the men that he's looking to, going, okay, we are at a crossroad in America, and I am going to cross the Rubicon. And if I have to drag the GOP across the finish line with me, I will. And he might have to, but it's time. I mean, even Senator John Kennedy said on the Senate floor last night, it's time to put Trump's agenda into motion in the Senate.
Yes.
And if they don't, they're going to lose the election. and they'll have no one to blame but themselves.
Mm-hmm. As they always do, as is always the case with the Republicans. Absolutely. You know, there is another side on this, too, because in his first term, he was losing members of his inner circle left and right. I think of the way Jeff Sessions ended up bowing out in disgrace, as it were, as attorney general. And and we could go on and on. Whereas this time now, again, it's like a Fellowship of the Ring whenever they have that, I do believe that's kind of the theater that he wants to convey whenever they have the cabinet meetings, you know, just that kind of the seemingly round table or so, he at the center and just brings in the world through the reporters, and then just some of the greatest minds imaginable in politics surrounding him. We've got a great bench. You compare that to the left right now, they got no bench. But what do you see? What do you make of it? Seems like the media is doing everything they can to get Trump to fire Cash, fire Kristi Noem. Those are the two that are in their sights right now. Now, Trump's denying rumors that he's very happy with everyone in his cabinet, it seems. But what do you make of all of that?
You know, I think they would love a Trump term one where there's all this turnover, Politico, The Atlantic. They can write articles every day about Trump's failures.
Yeah,
I think he has one of the most dream team cabinets we've ever seen. I mean, I think over his people like Marco Rubio, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr. Like, I'm just like, dude, every one of these people could have been president on their own.
Yep.
So as you mentioned, it's like he has a round table of presidential quality people, and he is the leader of that group of people. So I don't see it. I mean, I think the one that I've seen him express a little bit of frustration with is Pam Bondi. Yep. Yep. And, but
it's quick.
I'm sure you saw this. Alina Habba, they forced her out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So one door closed and a giant gate just opened, in my opinion. Wow. Alina Habba was just made senior advisor to Trump and Attorney General Pam Bondi. So this is breaking news. And I see it as absolutely amazing. Yeah. Think about that. Alina Habba, this lady's got guts.
Yeah.
She went to battle for Donald Trump. So I'm excited. I think one door closed, a massive gate open. We're going to see that. But as far as he's not unhappy with Kash Patel, right? Like everybody else is sitting back going, we want Epstein, we want Epstein. And he's going, okay, listen, I've arrested like 5,000 pedophiles this year. I've gotten all these.
Based on those files, I bet too.
Yes, right. Yeah. And they've rescued 62,000 children.
Yeah, exactly. Based on the file. Exactly. Yeah.
The lowest murder rate in a long time. I mean, like he is just, Kash Patel is doing what President Trump wants, right? Yeah. And DHS, Kristi Noem, she's doing what President Trump wants. Tom Homan is doing what President Trump wants. Yeah. So it's a dream team. My only complaint would be maybe Pam Bondi, but now that Alina Habba's coming in there, I think we're going to see some really great stuff.
Yeah, who sat in the courtroom side by side with Trump. So yeah, I'm with you. That's what we're all waiting for, right? I mean, that's the big thing. Yeah.
Yep.
We're all waiting for those perp walks. We'll see. We'll see. You know, one final thing here, is talk about the contrast between Trump's first term and this term is how the Democrats have completely changed their tune on the southern border. You know, it's just think, first term, all they did was oppose every single southern border spending measure during Trump's first term, particularly building the wall. Again, even Paul Ryan was against it. Now, here we are, after 4 years of the Biden border blunder. I can't even call it blunder, can I? Because it's pretty, it looks like it was pretty deliberate. It looks like Trump is finally getting whatever he wants for border security without so much as a peep from the Democrats. Certainly not a single Republican is going to push back against him. What do you think is going on? Is that a tacit admission that the Biden border policies were a disaster?
Yeah, as you know, one of the big breaking stories early in the week was that President Biden and his team were briefed. If you open the border, it's going to be chaos. We're going to lose the election. Yes. It's going to be very expensive. Do not do this. You will horribly embarrass the Democrat Party. And you know what he said? Double it. I want as many illegals in this country as possible. We'll blame it on the Republicans. We'll tell people, ignore your eyes, ignore your ears. If they catch on, we'll fly them in the dark of night. Yeah. We'll lie. And then every single Democrat took their marching order. You go back and you gaslight and you lie to the American people every single day. Every mainstream media sitting that you have, you lie. And they almost got away with it. Yeah. And we owe President Trump two big thank yous. Yeah. Number one, while he's deciding whether he's going to run for president or not, while he's dealing with all the lawfare, spending hundreds of millions of dollars in legal fees, the Democrats almost convinced the feckless GOP, maybe we'll just allow 5,000 people to invade us every day, right? Yeah. And Mark President Langford, Trump, he steps out of the dark, out of the courtroom, and he says, absolutely not. Do not give an inch. This whole thing is a scam. And they said, well, maybe, right? And a lot of GOP, they had their eyes blinded, but just enough moved forward. Then he comes in, and it turns out we didn't need a new policy. We needed a new president. One of the best lines of his second term, right? And what does he do? He shuts it down. He tells the people at the Darien Gap, no more free cell phones, no free hotel rooms at the Roosevelt, no $5,000 in food stamps, no free health care. We're not going to put you up in nice places, right? He shuts it down. He tells the United Nations, we're on to you. We know that you tried to invade and destroy the United States of America. They shut down the Darien Gap. He tells Mexico, we're going to blow you guys away economically if you don't step up. Yeah. I mean, we owe this guy so much gratitude. It's insane.
It is. It is insane. And I love, I don't know, did you see the their new national security report just came out a few days ago?
What was that?
Yeah, I did an AI summary of it, but basically it affirmed that the new total national security concern and focus for this administration is the Western Hemisphere. They're done with the forever wars in the Middle East. And what was so interesting is they're very concerned they're going to lose the allyship of Europe because of its demographic change, because of its fertility implosion, because of its mass migration, and that Europe's patriots need to rise up and take their individual nations back from the bullies in Brussels in the EU. It was a stunning, there's been a number of articles talking about, does this new national security policy embolden the world's far right? Well, call them whatever you want. I mean, the Overton window shifted so much to the left among the legacy media. I mean, our grandmothers would be far, far, far right, you know? I mean, so the answer is yes, it is emboldening the patriot movements all over the world. And I just seems to me that this, what you're saying and the way you described it there just fits so perfectly with it. We're not worried about Iraq's borders anymore. We're not worried about, you know, Afghanistan's borders. And we're worried about our own, and we're worried about what's going on in the Caribbean and these cocaine boats, these narco terrorist boats. And we're going to blow you out of, we're going to declare you terrorists and then legally blow you up. You know, and as Pete Hegseth said, it's really the hardest thing right now is actually finding the boats because they're not coming out. They're so freaked out. You can't pay them enough to try to bring their narcotics into the United States. So just the interest seems to be the concentric dynamic of focus now really is our hemisphere, our Western hemisphere. And that means that the days of invading our country are officially over.
Yeah, I mean, we're going back to the Monroe Doctrine. Yes. Don't do anything in our hemisphere. America leads the Western Hemisphere. I mean, you could see it right away in Trump's behavior, right? One of the first things he does is he says, Panama, we gifted you greatest gift of the last 100 years, and you've been invaded by China? You betrayed America? No way. We're taking it back. Yeah. He then goes to Greenland and says, listen, we're not going to get into a kinetic war with China, but we need you. If not, we're going to buy you. If not, we're going to do other things. So he starts working with Mexico and South America. He starts cleaning up South America. They've now got so many warships near the coast of Venezuela that Maduro is literally wetting his pants, right? And why? Because we find out that they've got this massive cocaine problem with our allies up in Europe.
Yeah.
We find out that they've been rigging elections around the world.
Right.
We find out that they participated in invading America with Train de Aragua.
Right.
So President Trump, he is done with Americans being killed.
Right.
This is a president that is for peace. But if I have to rain hell down on your country in order to bring peace to mine, that's what we're going to do. And you know what most people don't realize is, they've blown up 20, 21 boats, but they've boarded dozens more, you know, and they've arrested people, and you can see it right in the boat. They've got all of these packets of cocaine. Like, those aren't gas barrels. It's not fishing equipment. Quit calling these people fishermen. They've got a boat with thousands of pounds of cocaine in it. Come on.
Right. With $50,000 boat motors on the back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, quite a fisherman's salary there. What are you, just wrapping it all up, Steve, what are you looking, what are you keeping your eyes on? Where do you see where do we go from here? I mean, how consequential are you seeing this presidency thus far, this second Trump term thus far? And what are you going to keep an eye on as we go on into the new year?
So I believe that President Trump was right. I think that we were seen as beta male energy, you know, that we were a dying country.
Yeah.
The dollar was definitely on its way out. There was this big global push to de-dollarize, and President Trump stepped in and said, no, wait a minute, we're bringing masculine energy back to the West, and we are going to be the leader of the free world. So right now, you know, they've got to make sure that they keep Congress in the majority. Otherwise, President Trump is going to, they're going to clip his wings. They will impeach him as quick as you and I could even guess. They will try to make his life an absolute living hell. So, but here's where I'm optimistic, is Trump has over $1 billion in his war chest. That's not for him to get reelected.
Right.
That's to keep him in power, right?
Right.
So as Bill O'Reilly said, if we lose the House, he loses power. If we keep the House, he's going to gain power. And so Susie Weil announced that he is going to be going out just like in 2024, doing the rallies. Anyone he believes is MAGA, he's going to put money, he's going to put time and energy behind them. So we have not seen the last of Donald Trump. As I mentioned earlier in the show, this is the guy getting it done. He's got the dream team cabinet, but he's going to have to drag the GOP over the line.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a bunch of wieners in the House and over in the Senate that he's going to just have to drag them across the finish line. But I'm very optimistic for 2026. If he does that, then next to the border, I believe he will deliver us the best thing that Trump can, which is J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio or whoever it is. We take back the country for 12 years and we make this country great again. I'm super optimistic.
Yeah, I am too, Stephen. Yeah. And given that the Democrats don't have a bench, I mean, I can you imagine Newsom and Kamala and whoever AOC, whoever else is going to get in, or Buttigieg just beating each other up in these bruising primaries where you got JD leading by 40. He basically has a Trump lead against everybody else. He has assumed the mantle, I think. And so I think so. I think it's already in the works. It's going to be a Vance Rubio ticket, and that's going to be incredible. Remember, Ohio and Florida, there's only been two exceptions, and both times they have been very sus elections. But whoever wins Ohio and Florida always wins the election. And so you have some, you know, JD from Ohio and Marco from Florida, and both are solid red anyway. So I don't even know if it pertains anymore. But yeah. I'm with you. It's we'll be keeping a very, very close eye on the midterms. And like you said, 2028's already getting underway in many ways. So all right, gang, everyone, make sure you click on the link below. You see Stephen's analysis is wonderful. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, Stephen Gardner at YouTube, for daily commentary and insights. Really, really awesome stuff. Stephen, always a pleasure to chat with you. Come back soon, very soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.